The writer of Hebrews talks about Abraham, the father of faith, and he says he was looking for something beyond this world. What are you looking for today? Can you see beyond the now? I'm tired. Can you see beyond being tired? Oh, I get so angry. Can you see beyond the anger? There is a day coming when it will be worth it. Look at what Paul says. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 15. 2 Corinthians chapter, I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul has been talking about the resurrection. He talks about the surety of the resurrection of Christ. He talks about the witnesses and the proofs of the resurrection, the sure foundation of the Christian faith. He talks about these hard to understand verses about describing what the resurrection will be like to people who cannot imagine it. Talks about the surety of the believer's resurrection. And then he ends all of that with these words. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, because all of this is true, my dear friends, stand firm. We live in a day when so few people stand firm. Can I chase a rabbit for just a second? Put your finger in there because we're going to be right back. Turn with me over to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 12, 1 Timothy 4:12. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. But, and here's where I want to go. Set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through the prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them. Now, here's the struggle in this day. I want you to think about that in terms of this stand firm. There are so many today that as you go down through this list, and let's go down through it, speech, life, love, faith, purity, devoted to public worship, devoted to preaching, devoted to teaching, not neglecting your gift, and being diligent. As you think about that list, I want you to think about yourself and people you know. Here's the tendency in these days. Well, this one's really got love down. Oh, this one over there, man, they are faithful to preaching. Oh, this one loves to come to Bible study. Oh, that one over there, wow, you should listen to their speech. They're just so godly in their... Do you get what I'm saying? What's missing today is the whole package. That's where we don't stand firm. We're missing the whole package. We see the Christian life as a Chinese menu. One from column A, one from column B, none from column C. Replace column C with column B, but not from column A. And we look at it that way. Well, I'm doing this. Wonderful. That's one on the list. And he says, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always, I'm back in 1 Corinthians 15, always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. Do you know what power you and I have to be an encouragement to one another? Just our presence is an encouragement. But if that is true, what is equally as true? Our absence is a discouragement. He says, give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. Why? Why do that today? It doesn't seem to get us anywhere. People say, I've been praying and praying and praying and nothing happens. Every time you turn around, you say, well, it looks like we've hit the bottom now. And they dig out the shovels and go deeper. Isn't that true? And you say, see, it's not working. But he says, give yourself fully to the work of the Lord because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. There are a lot of things we do that are utterly in vain. 1,000 years from now, 100 years from now, 3 hours from now, nobody will care. Ooh, I just got high score on Widget Man or whatever the latest. I crushed a lot of candy and I didn't even taste a thing. First of all, if I crush candy, I want to taste it. I don't want it to go beep, beep on the screen. That is just, I'm sorry. I enjoy the odd video game now and then, but that just, why anyone would want to crush candy on a screen is beyond me. If you're going to bring candy, man, bring the real stuff. Chocolate, please. Chocolate. Not peanut chews. I've got teeth. But what's done in Christ is never in vain. Jesus said, giving a cup of cold water to someone in His name won't be forgotten. I forget those things. You forget those things. God doesn't forget those things. And here's the thing. I want you to think about this. Here's the thing. You know the song, the wonderful song, Amazing Grace? When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Wonderful words of John Newton. But they don't even begin to scratch the surface. Because let's go a little deeper. Do you understand that what we do for the first 10 million years of eternity will never make up for the things we don't do in this life. There is stuff that God wants to reward us for that we do in this life that all of eternity cannot recover. Praising Him for a million years in heaven doesn't make up for faithful service done today. Have you ever thought about that? There are rewards that you can never earn in heaven that are available to us now, today. Look with me back at Hebrews 11. This blows my mind. This blows my mind. Hebrews 11:39. After he's given this list, he's taken some of the big highlights and he's shined a spotlight on them, and then he's taken some of the lowlights and he's brought them to remembrance. And then he ends with these words, verse 39, Hebrews 11:39. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us. Just stop there and think about that. Think about the love God has lavished on you and I, that God has something better planned for us than He did for Moses. Oh, Moses was in the Bible. I could never be. He says we've got something better planned for us than him, or for Abraham, or Daniel in his lion's den, or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or Isaiah, or John the Baptist. All of them. So that only together with us would they be made perfect. Whew. Is that amazing or what? Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at what it says, 2 Corinthians 4. I want to start at the very first verse. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. That's the threat, isn't it? To lose heart. You go along and you go along and you go along, and then you know, once you slow down, it's hard to pick up the pace again, isn't it? Losing weight's easy. Keeping it off, man, that's the struggle, isn't it? Starting an exercise program is easy. How hard is it to buy a gym membership? Yeah. Showing up. You know, that's why so many people that want to launder money get into the gym business. Because you know, can open up a gym, put in all this cash into it, and say, well, I've got hundreds of people that are members in the gym. They're sending in their membership. You say, where are they? Well, they just don't show up. so easy to get started in the Christian life. But it's also easy to lose heart. You reach plateaus. I had, finally. I have been plateaued in weight loss for 5 months. Up, down, up, down. 232 to 235. On a really bad day, 236. And I go, oh, and then back down to 233. Okay, but then right back up again. Up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down. 5 months. I went into the nurse's office just before the end of school, and I weighed myself, and I was 229. I haven't been 229 since dinosaurs walked the earth. But you know what? It's real easy to lose heart. It's easy to lose heart in the Christian life. Oh, my prayers aren't being answered. Oh, Bible study's always the same. Oh, the navigators used to talk about when the word tastes like sawdust. Paul says we don't lose heart. Jump down a little bit. Verse 7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side. Does the Bible acknowledge that we'll live the kind of lives that we often live? Absolutely. These preachers that stand up and go, God just wants you to jump from mountaintop to mountaintop. Mountaintops are wonderful. Man, the view is incredible. The exhilaration is unbelievable. Oh, but there's one other thing about mountaintops. You know what they are? Barren. Nothing grows there. If you want to grow something, you got to go down to the valleys. That's where the life is. We're hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed. Do you know, that word describes me a lot of days these days. I look at what's going on in the world around me and I am perplexed. I cannot believe that people are as blind as they are. That people would believe that the things that they're selling would actually work is just either they are consummate liars, which may be the truth, or else they are just so out and out blind that they couldn't see a bus ready to hit them. I'm perplexed, but not in despair. But you see, you look at that and you say, but they don't get the final word. Jesus shall reign where'er the Son does his successive journeys run. Persecuted. Persecution we face today is often subtle. It is not the persecution that people are suffering in Syria or Afghanistan or China. There are none of us here that, as far as I know, are under threat that the police are going to bash through the door to confiscate your Bibles or arrest you for going to Bible study or charge through the door here and arrest us for being in church. None of us face being dragged out by a mob and burned at the stake. It's the sneer. The quiet whispers. The disinclusion. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. Jump down, verse 16. Therefore, can I just back up before I go there? The words that the fellow who led me to Christ said years ago just ring so true in my heart. circumstances do not create a state of soul, they only manifest it. I don't know how many times I replay that tape in my head. MP3 in my head. Whatever it is. Circumstances do not create a state of soul. What is going on around you does not create what you are. It merely shows what you are. It only manifests it. One person's persecuted and they crumble. Another person's persecuted and they thrive. What's the difference? You are. You choose how you will respond to the circumstance that comes into your life, knowing that God has said that everything that comes into our life, what? For everything is for the good to those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. Everything. What's happening in our homes today is for our good. Oh, and God must like it. No. He wants to change it. But He wants to grow us so we can change it. Now, verse 16, he comes back. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Why do you think he started this chapter with those words and ends this chapter with those words? Because he knew how easy it would be for us to lose heart. It's so easy, isn't it? I don't know how often I've heard people say something like, I've done my time. No. No. And if you think that is your temptation alone, Richard Owen Roberts, the last time I saw him at Heart Cry, spoke and he said, you know, I was being tempted that, you know, I'm now over 70, I've got to collect Social Security, I can't put it off. And when I started, I said, well, that's it, I'm done. And he said, wait, where's this coming from? There's no temptation seized you except what's common to man. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles. Anybody here want to trade places with Paul's troubles? Anybody here up for being stoned to death? Or this close? How's being shipwrecked a few times and spending a day and night clinging to a piece of debris in the middle of the open ocean sound to you? Hey, there was the beaten by rods. I'll bet you that's fun. He says these light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Let me give you an illustration. If you were offered a choice today between two things, the first is for the next week you would be taken and given to terrorists and tortured in any way they desired. But at the end of the 7 days, you would be totally healed up and you would be given anything you needed for the rest of your life and provided with every possible thing you could imagine in any amount that you needed. Would you choose that? 7 days of pain and then the rest of your life? Or would you choose for the next 7 days you can have any pleasure you desire? Anything your heart desires will be granted you, but at the end of the 7 days you will be taken and tortured for the rest of your very long and miserable life to the extent that you can suffer. Which would you choose? It's a no-brainer, isn't it? 7 days versus the rest of your life? Versus 7 days of pleasure and then the rest of your life in torment? How many people 15 years into the torment are going to remember those 7 days? But isn't that the exact choice we face today, only greater? You can pursue whatever pleasures you desire, whether they're just the simple ones of sit down and do nothing, or the gross and sinful ones, or any other ones you want, for the short years of this life, and lose out for eternity. Or you can endure whatever hardship comes, whether it's the slow and dripping thing of just surrendering yourself to giving your time and energy to the obedience to the thing God's commands. Or whether it's the much more immediate and painful threat of actual persecution. Whatever it is, to suffer that for the few short years of this life and then for eternity. Paul made his choice. He says, so we fix our eyes on what is not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. There will be a day when you know with absolute certainty that it was worth it to serve Christ, whether you do or not. Whichever choice you make, that day will come. It will come to the most depraved, unrepentant sinner that ever was. Joseph Stalin was one of the most wicked men that ever lived. He knows that all the power he accumulated and all the people he tortured and all the pain he inflicted, it wasn't worth it. And he'll have the rest of eternity to ponder his choice. That day will come when we know with absolute certainty it is worth it. Now, here's the only question I have. Is that day today? For you, is that day today? Today, are you willing to say it will be worth it all just to see His face? Let's bow together. Oh, Father, thank You, thank You, thank You. Thank You that You so graciously granted us the privilege of not only joining You in the eternity called heaven, but You also so wondrously, so miraculously, so unbelievably have chosen to reward us just for doing what we owe You to do anyway. Oh, what love You have lavished upon us. We don't understand it all. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, it hasn't entered into our hearts what You've prepared for us, but You have promised it is worth it. Lord, we will believe that one day. Every human being who ever lived, from Cain and Abel, the last person born in the world, will know with absolute certainty it was worth it all. Lord, may we have the wisdom to know that today. Cure our blindness. Strengthen our faith. Increase our courage. protect us from losing heart. In Jesus' name, amen.